This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. Audible.com has over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. To start your trial today, go to audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Yes, this is Mr. Dees from Masson. I was looking for Marcus Vanderberg because we wanted to offer you a job at our radio network, and I've heard your podcast, and we don't need those other two guys. They're a little bit too dark, but I'm totally in with Team Lightskin. So if you could give me a call back up here in New York, again, the name is Mr. Dees. Dees Nuts, Miyoko! I guess we ain't recording tonight, so I'll leave you a message.
If you're satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record. To send your message with normal delivery, press 1. Thank you. Your message has been sent. Goodbye.
That has to be our cold open.
Yeah, that's a cold open.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Alfred Cottawa, Nate Milton, and Marcus Vanderberg. So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time. I am the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by Big Nasty Alfred Cunningham, and of course, Marcus Vanderberg. What's going on, Marcus?
Marcus, talk to the man.
Marcus?
He gone!
Yeah. Just to let you guys know, the listeners out there, this week's show is going to be a mixed bag, but it's going to be a good bag. It's going to be a little bit like a Rashomon. It's going to be a little bit like the Freebird rule, where every segment, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, life is like a box of chocolates. This podcast is like a box of chocolates, and I'm not just saying that because we're black. You know, you might get a segment with me and Alfred, or a segment with me and Marcus, or a segment with all three of us, or a segment with only one of us. So, you know, we're going to have some fun. We're going to have a good time, and we kind of playing it by ear today. So we'll start things off, as we always do, you know, segment one, with some of the biggest stories in the world of sports. And probably the biggest news over the past week is something that actually broke last week when we were wrapping up our show. And, you know, we made mention of it, but by that time, it was, you know, we didn't have all the details, and, you know, we had already got the show in the can pretty much. So we'll talk about it right now. And Alfred, I don't make a lot of promises on this show, man, you know.
Right.
I like to let the show flow and kind of be organic. But one thing I can promise the people out there is that if Milwaukee makes it into the A block, it's not for something positive.
No, it's not. I hate to agree with you, Brother Nate, but unless the Green Bay Packers, which is close to Milwaukee, are winning the Super Bowl, which will happen next year, no, Milwaukee does not make it.
Yeah, don't try to slide Green Bay up in there. I'm talking strictly Milwaukee. Like, the last great things Milwaukee had were Ray Allen, Lou Alcindor, and Laverne and Shirley. That's it. That's the list.
Wow. That is a shot fired at Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
And look, let me tell you, they won't all of them left, though, too. Ray Allen left. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor went to L.A. Laverne and Shirley went to L.A. You went to L.A.
The thing is, once you get big, you know, once you get over 6 feet, there really is nothing, there's nowhere to walk around. It's like you go from one block to the end of the block, and you're too big, so you just got to go.
Well, somebody that wishes he could go is one Ryan Braun. And, you know, we talked last week about how Major League Baseball is kind of lagging behind the other two major sports, and why people still care, and kind of the state of the game. And one of the reasons that I think baseball has lost interest is because of the lingering effects, the lingering stigma of the PED scandal and the steroid era that a lot of us thought was over. But now, you know, everybody knows that it is far from over, you know, and, you know, we, some of the big names, Alex Rodriguez, Melky Cabrera, and of course the MVP, Ryan Braun of the Milwaukee Brewers. And this is a story that is so crazy because it's one thing to get caught up in a lie, and it's another thing to get caught up in a bold-faced lie. And that's what Ryan Braun did. You know, he went out there, I bet my life that I didn't take any performance-enhancing drugs. And his homeboy Aaron Rodgers came out, vouched for him, bet his salary, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, Ryan Braun, as we all know, kind of strong-armed the MLB testing guys, you know. And so it was just kind of this weird thing where everybody just kind of, I guess, collectively in the media agreed that, you know, there's something fishy with this dude, but we don't have 100% proof, so we're not going to say anything. And now Bud Selig has had his say. And, you know, for those folks out there that may not have kept up with the baseball stories, let them know what happened to Brother Braun this past week, Alfred.
Hey, my brother. Ryan Braun has been suspended by Major League Baseball for the remainder of the 2013 season. The suspension is actually a 65-game suspension because, if you'll remember, he was suspended for 50 games last year. He was set to be suspended but was able to successfully overturn that ruling on appeal, which was just based on the slightest of circumstances and minutiae that he was able to – they went on the technicality, really. So they're going to add another 15 games to that otherwise 50-game suspension. Ryan Braun did win the NL MVP in 2011. And after being linked to Biogenesis and being able to fight that successfully, further investigation, namely by TJ Quinn and Outside the Lines, was able to link him to Biogenesis. He has come out and, you know, done an okay enough job. He kind of issued a lousy apology, as he says, as I have acknowledged in the past, I am not perfect. I realize now that I have made some mistakes. I'm willing to accept the consequences of those actions. He went on to hide behind his family and say that, you know, he's very happy to be part of the Milwaukee Brewers organization. But yes, Ryan Braun has been caught and will be suspended for the remainder of the 2013 season. Here's what makes a lot of people sick, Brother Nate. We were talking about how baseball is polarizing. Ryan Braun is due over $100 million over the next several years. This suspension, he will lose $3 million. So you tell me if it was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to me, it's really a slap on the wrist. Granted, he misses the rest of the season, but he's still getting that money. And his kind of mea culpa, his apology, whatever you want to call it. To me, it sounded like one of them Day-Day apologies from Friday. When, you know, when Day-Day was like, man, these is 20s, man. These is 20s. No, nah, them ain't 20s. No, nah, they 10s. But I keep them clean, though. And Ryan Braun is like, I didn't use steroids. Yeah, I did, but I didn't mean to.
My family forgives me.
Yeah, and this is so... I think a lot of people, you know, this is why Andy Pettit, the guy like Pettit, is somebody that was forgiven because he came out and he was honest or as honest as he could be in the situation. But we saw it with Lance Armstrong. We've seen it with other people, Marion Jones. When you come out and make such a strong denial, once you get found out, the backlash is going to be brutal. And I think that's probably the smartest thing Barry Bonds ever did. Like, Barry Bonds was never one of those guys that was out there thumping his chest and standing on the soapbox. Barry was just like, I never knowingly took any steroids. You know?
Yeah, he danced around that, didn't he?
But to me, it's like Braun is, I think it's, I don't know, people are saying like it's a black eye for the league. You know, like I mentioned, Alex Rodriguez is another pending suspension that might be coming down the pike. But I think what we have seen this past week and the past couple of weeks is that for those that thought the steroid era was something confined to those big home run hitters like McGuire, Sosa, Bonds, the pitchers like Pettit and Roger Clemens, you know, this is something that still is ongoing because, like you mentioned, there's really no downside. I mean, you get popped, you get suspended, you lose a little bit of change, but for the most part, you still got that guaranteed money waiting for you.
And that's terrible. It's the incentive program. It's incentive-based. Taking steroids, it comes down to a morality factor, not whether or not you want the game to be fair. It comes down to a lot of people, is my name more important or is $100 million plus dollars more important? Okay, because essentially a lot of individuals who have been popped for steroids, it's no coincidence, many of them are from the Dominican Republic, where they really come from nothing and they have to spend their whole life perfecting the craft of baseball in order to get out. So then it becomes, well, who am I in America? Who do these Americans think? They don't know me. So yeah, sure, maybe I'll get a little bit of an edge, make myself 10, 20, sometimes $100 million. And if I get popped, eh, it's a couple $1 million and my name is sold in a country that I'm really not renowned in. So, you know, a lot of people are talking about maybe having a permanent suspension for people who violate the drug policy, which I think would be very harsh, but we might have to come to that point.
Yeah, some people have been talking about, you know, lifetime bans for the first offense, and I don't agree with that, you know, because anybody can make a mistake. But I say if, you know, once you get to two offenses, that should be a whole season. And on your third offense, three strikes and you're out. That would be the way I do it.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that a lot. But again, it's an incentive-based system. Some people would only find a reason to say, okay, I'll do it once, and then I won't, and I'll get caught, and then I'll be able to still play, and they'll make their money, you know? So it still comes down to that aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to personal accountability. And like you mentioned, you know, what's worth more to these players, $100 million or their name? And, you know, I fancy myself somebody with decent morals, but if you put $100 million in front of me, you can go ahead and call me Rufus Xavier Sarsaparilla. That's about that money, Jack.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all.
If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense, man. But, you know, let's leave Ryan Braun there. I'm sure we'll have much more to talk about, you know, with Braun and also A-Rod if that suspension comes to fruition in the weeks to come. But I did want to hit on some NFL training camp news. First weekend of training camp, and already some pretty big injuries, some pretty significant casualties. First and foremost, Jeremy Maclin with an ACL injury, and he's going to be out for the entire season, which is a big blow for the Eagles and Chip Kelly trying to get that team back on the right foot. And also the Baltimore Ravens could be without tight end Dennis Pitta for the remainder of the season. And that's a position that they don't have a lot of depth at. So, I mean, it's, you know, we've had some good news, I guess, with RG3 coming back, even though he said he's not going to play in the preseason. And then, you know, like I said, with Pitta and with Maclin, some of the bad news. So it's a terrible thing to see, but, you know, that's kind of part and parcel with the NFL. An injury could happen at any time.
And it's a bad situation for both teams. You look at Jeremy Maclin, Chip Kelly's going to install an offense where a guy like Jeremy Maclin would have thrived. So now they're depending on DeSean Jackson, who's more of a big play wide receiver. In Chip Kelly's offense, it tends to be a rhythm offense. Yeah, there's big plays, but it's the type where you want to keep the chains moving. And somebody like Jeremy Maclin would have been a perfect fit. He was all geeked up. You could tell in an interview that he was very excited for this type of offense that would have highlighted him as a top receiver from the Eagles last year. And now he's hurt. So now they're going to have to depend on a Riley Cooper, which you never know what you get out of him. And with the Ravens, you got Anquan Boldin who's gone. Okay, you've got now Dennis Pitta, who is another very reliable target for Joe Flacco, who's gone. They're looking to transition this team to Joe Flacco and put more on his plate, especially with Ray Rice starting to fade away. But now it looks like the Ravens may be in a little bit of a standstill because Joe Flacco's weapons are just starting to fall by the wayside. Not to mention the fact that Jacoby Jones failed a conditioning exam. So the Ravens are on all kinds of bad shape right now.
Yeah, and not to mention that they're in a division that is rapidly improving, with Cincinnati and Cleveland stepping up. Pittsburgh's always dangerous. So it's not a guarantee that Baltimore is going to get back to the Super Bowl, much less win that division.
Yeah, and you don't see it very often, especially in the salary cap era of teams winning back-to-back Super Bowl. That just doesn't happen anymore. And it really was rare to begin with. You know, my Packers were the first team ever to have done it. But you got the Packers, you got the Cowboys, the Patriots. Not very many teams, though, went back-to-back Super Bowl. And it just made it easier for that to not happen with what's going on in Ravens training camp. The good side of this, if there was a positive side, is that it's happened this early. So the Ravens can now go into the street, go into the market, see what kind of trades they can make in order to bolster the receiver core, because it is in a bad way.
And speaking of the Green Bay Packers, I think Aaron Rodgers is probably looking at Greg Jennings right now like, if you get jammed up, don't mention my name. Because Greg Jennings was throwing some shots. Jennings, of course, the prolific receiver, formerly of the Green Bay Packers. He put the team on his back. And now he is he kind of pulled that Brett Favre move and donned the colors of the hated rivals, the Minnesota Vikings, and, you know, came out with some unflattering comments about his former teammate. Didn't even call the dude by his name, which was probably the most insulting and most disrespectful part of it. Leslie Frazier, the coach of the Vikings, came out and denounced Jennings' comments. But what did you make all that as a Packers fan?
The thing about Aaron Rodgers is he's very polarizing. As a player, he's somebody who's looked at as very aloof. He's not somebody who I think he's – if you're on his team, of course you're going to go to bat for him like Greg Jennings did. At one point, Greg Jennings said Aaron Rodgers is better than Brett Favre, but now that he's a Viking, he thinks Brett Favre is better than Aaron Rodgers. Imagine that. But there was also that drama that went on during the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers, and Greg Jennings' sister was out tweeting some stuff about him. But it just – I get the feeling that Aaron Rodgers, his personality rubs a lot of people the wrong way. You look at him in press conferences, he can be a little cocky. He's got that chip on his shoulder, as they say, but it comes off as arrogance and as being pious. So I'm not surprised that somebody's ripping Aaron Rodgers. It's just his personality, and it's a little bit of bitterness on Greg Jennings' side, let's face it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's kind of looking at Aaron Rodgers, and then he's looking to the left of him, and he sees Christian Ponder. And so he's you know, it's like going from Tyra Banks to Shanae. But no disrespect to Christian Ponder. But
yeah, Greg, who's better, Christian Ponder and Aaron Rodgers? Maybe they should ask him that question.
Yeah, but I think, you know, to talk to your point about Aaron Rodgers, I think it's funny that he got, I think, a lot of grace from the media and even from the fans in the wake of the whole Brett Favre Packers debacle as kind of the anti-Favre. When, as somebody that didn't have a dog in the fight, I'm like, these dudes aren't that different. You know, maybe Brett Favre is a little bit more outspoken with his cockiness. You know, he's not as polished when it comes to the media as Aaron Rodgers is. But, you know, to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, you probably got to have a little bit of an ego in the first place. And B, you know, this is a dude, like you said, that came into the league with a chip on his shoulder from being overlooked and having to sit behind Brett Favre for all those years. So, you know, to just kind of be like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is the complete opposite of Brett Favre, I think that's being delusional, Packers fans.
Yeah, no, I got to agree with you on that front, but it's kind of a different way of leading. Brett Favre is more of a simple guy. He's not somebody who's going to go behind your back or be passive aggressive. He's more of an in-your-face leader. Aaron Rodgers isn't that guy. He's not a fired-up guy. He's somebody who's, if he's going to take a shot at somebody, it's going to be kind of a backhanded type smirky little shot. Like, what I'm thinking about is when they played the Saints. The Saints had spent all throughout the lockout, you know, the teams were locked out, so they couldn't go to training camp or whatnot. But the Saints had organized their own little practice, and the Packers hadn't. And people were criticizing Aaron Rodgers for doing so. Well, they went on to have a shootout with the Saints the first week of the season, and Aaron Rodgers kind of takes a podium and kind of smirks and says, wow, I'm sure glad all those practices really helped us. And he's just being kind of sarcastic. So that's just what you're going to get with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the difference between Wrangler jeans and some fancy slacks.
Yeah.
You know, from the Men's Warehouse.
Maybe some True Religions or, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but you know, we'll leave it there. I'm really looking forward to football season kicking off, and I'm really looking forward to the Kings of Sport Football League popping off here very shortly. And, you know, I know Brother Jamie's going to be looking to take shots at you, Alfred.
Yeah, nobody is going to be looking forward to this league about 3-4 weeks into it when they realize the fantasy juggernaut they're up against, which is Alfred Big Nasty Cunningham, a 5-time fantasy football world champion, looking to get my 6th in the Kings of Sport League. Bring it on, boys!
Well, finally, since you mentioned world champions, let's do some quick hits with the WWE. SummerSlam is a couple weeks away, August the 18th, taking place at the Staples Center, a.k.a. the house that Dwight built.
Oh, man. I thought you were going to say the house of Nasty built, and that would have gotten heat. No, this is going to get heat.
Hey, bring it on, L.A. I ain't scared of y'all. But, you know, we've already got some of the big matches laid out. Daniel Bryan versus John Cena, CM Punk, Brock Lesnar. What are some of the things that you're looking the most forward to as we head towards SummerSlam?
CM Punk and Brock Lesnar is going to be very interesting, mainly because they're building this feud up through a war of words with Paul Heyman and CM Punk. And these are two of the best, if not the two best talkers in the company. It's the best of all worlds with this feud because you got Paul Heyman versus CM Punk on the mic, which is gold. And then you got Brock Lesnar, who people are going to pay to see once Paul Heyman and CM Punk have talked everybody into the building. So this is going to do very, very good business, I think. It's going to be a compelling storyline, which it already has been, and I'm really looking forward to how that match pans out. I think CM Punk is a perfect opponent for somebody like Brock Lesnar, because CM Punk is more of a ring general and somebody who could lead Brock Lesnar to a very, very good wrestling contest.
Yeah, and I think this might be Brock's best match in his comeback. You know, I think the Cena match was really good. The Triple H matches were okay, but I think this Punk match can be really, really good and be one of those career-defining matches for Brock Lesnar. The other thing that really has me interested about this SummerSlam is the World Championship, the SmackDown Champion side, you know, where Damian Sandow has the Money in the Bank briefcase. But to me, I think Cody Rhodes, you know, the way they've been building them up, I wouldn't be surprised if they did some type of match or some type of stip where Cody ended up with the Money in the Bank briefcase and ended up taking on Del Rio for the belt.
You know, it does look like that, but this is WWE's mind state. Whenever they have somebody like a Dolph Ziggler, like a Damian Sandow who has a briefcase, they look at that like, okay, he's got the briefcase. He's eventually going to be a world champ. Now we can job him out to get other guys over. It's a very counterintuitive type way of booking, but this is what they did with Dolph Ziggler. He was jobbing left and right when he had the Money in the Bank briefcase and then eventually cashed it in. It's to the point where wins and loss in WWE's minds do not matter anyway whatsoever as long as they have an end game. So they do have a plan, I think, for Damian Sandow. But until they get there, they're just going to have him lose because he's really hot right now. So if he loses, he'll get other people over, which I don't 100% agree with.
Yeah, I've always hated that philosophy. But I will say at least, you know, this is probably the most interesting Cody Rhodes has been in a long time. So hopefully they can do something with this guy off of that. But finally, you know, we mentioned Cena and Daniel Bryan. Do you think there's any chance that Superman falls to Frodo at SummerSlam?
I think there's absolutely a chance. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's a small chance, but okay, now you have one of these matchups similar to CM Punk versus John Cena where it's the internet savior, so to speak, against the corporation John Cena. And a lot of people are turning this into an all or nothing situation for Daniel Bryan, where if he doesn't win, he's going to be buried and Cena's holding on to the title as Super Cena. It's not the case. Daniel Bryan has already made it, okay? At no time in his ascension in the WWE has he ever been buried for a significant period of time. You could argue his lowest point when he lost to Sheamus in 18 seconds was his best career moment because people felt bad for him and he became popular overnight with the yes craze. So I think win or lose, Daniel Bryan is a stud. He'll be a world champion multiple times after this. But I got Cena right now. I think Cena's going to hold on for that title for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm like, you know, to me, the smart thing would have been to put the belt on Mark Henry and then have Daniel Bryan versus Mark Henry in a big man, little man feud. But obviously, they didn't do that. So I don't see Bryan taking the belt from Cena unless they do the deal where Bryan wins and then 10 minutes later, Randy Orton comes out.
Could happen.
Yeah. And nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, I think the fact that it would piss the internet off so much, Vince McMahon loves internet outrage. It's the best, worst kept secret in wrestling. So I think knowing how outraged people would be if that happened makes me think that it might happen.
Yeah, Vince will be sitting up in the top office in Titan Towers. Google that, internet. Look at these marks. So Chris Jericho is the greatest of all time.
I proved that wrong.
Yeah, multiple times. So we're going to leave it right there for segment one. But like we said, man, this is the Freebird Rules edition of the Kings of Sports. So coming up next, Alfred's going to step out. Marcus is going to step in. We're going to talk about TNA. Ask Dixie.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's going to be a depressing segment. We're talking about TNA. We're going to get some more into steroids and baseball. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with BET and the game and another trifling lawsuit. And who knows? What else we'll get into? I do not know, but I do know whatever we do, it's going to be good. So stick and stay. We got more Kings of Sport right after this. Tired of put us away, but when they see us walk down the street, they ran the other way. Back free in Atlanta, DA. Back free in the whole USA. Back free, Nasty and I. Could it down the block you with a better ear guy?
We've always said the Kings of Sport was the best podcast around, but now the reviews are in and the people have spoken. Here's what you had to say about the show. This is a sports podcast for the people, by the people. There are no old guys talking about the good old days. These are brothers that are connected to what's going on now. They bring you the latest information as well as comparing current events to historical ones. If there is one sports podcast that you need to listen to, make it this one. This is a very good show with three brilliant co-hosts who keep it real. Younger guys with great minds for sports. They have differing opinions and back it up with facts and figures. Always entertaining and an enjoyable listen. I am down with the Kings. The Kings of Sport is the best thing going on the internet. These guys rock. Give them a listen. You won't be disappointed. So there you have it. But you don't have to take their word for it. Find out for yourself. Listen to the Kings of Sport and make up your own mind. We guarantee we're the best show around.
And now it's time to return to the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time.
It's the Kings of Sport, thekingsofsport.com.
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport. This is segment four. I know some of y'all out there like, hold on, wait a minute. What happened to segment two and segment three? And the answer to that is none of your damn business.
What happened was, we're
going to say that for our subscription service when we start the Kings of Sport Elite Platinum Package. You got to pay $4.99 a month for that.
Kings of Sport is starting to sell out.
You know what I'm saying? The game is to be sold, not told. So, this is segment four, and we're gonna talk about a few things, some topics, some general discussions, and before we get into that though, there's one thing that I really want to tell you the people about today. Something that's been on my mind all day long. I was walking around, started a new job, and I was on my break today, and I was like, man, I sure do wish I could sit down and read a book. But I didn't bring a bag. I didn't bring anything that I could take to carry a book in. But I did have my iPod, and on my iPod, I got audiobooks. And nobody does audiobooks better than Audible.com. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks with over 100,000 titles to choose from in every genre. And Audible titles play on the iPhone, Kindle, Android, and more than 500 devices for listening anytime, anywhere. And for you guys, the listeners of the Kings of Sport podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. And, they got great books like The Hobbit, The Witness, Gone Girl, Bad Luck and Trouble, Last Season by Phil Jackson, The War for Late Night by Bill Carter, and of course, Star Trek Into Darkness. And I know you're saying, Nate, how can I take advantage of this? Well, it's quite simple. All you got to do is head over to audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. Again, that's audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport to get your free 30-day trial and try out your free audiobook today. Again, Audible is down with the Kings. You guys are down with the Kings. So get down with audible.com. And like I said, we're just going to kind of go around and just hash out some different topics and things that have been on our mind, you know. And I guess we didn't get Marcus's take because Marcus was absent for the first segment. But, you know, real quick, like what's your thoughts on A-Rod and Braun and all this stuff going down, man?
A-Rod, I just want the story to be over with. It's been dragging out now. We've had a bunch of reports that saying the suspension will come sometime this week. And it's looking like it's going to be a lifetime ban, which would be a huge impact to the sport. And I think it would be the wake-up call that the rest of the guys need in terms of trying to police HGH and PEDs and all that stuff. You know, you're talking about a guy with 600-plus home runs who at one point was on pace to break the all-time home run record. So this would be a real wake-up call for the rest of baseball. As for Braun, he's a snake, you know. He's going to have to do a lot to work on his reputation in the offseason. I think there are other guys in the league that look down at this dude. I heard a report that there's actually a pitcher who threw at Braun because he suspected him of cheating. And so I think that the players know what's been going on. Even though he might have lied to his teammates, I think they still suspected that he was a cheater. So this week should be very interesting between the trade deadline and the looming suspensions. It should be a busy week in baseball.
Meanwhile, Pete Rose is saying, y'all wanted to ban me for life?
Poor Pete.
Nah, man, Pete should have been banned just for that haircut, though, for real.
Oh, come on.
You can't. You're one of the greatest hitters of all time, but you can't find a decent barber?
You can't write the book of baseball without talking about Charlie Hustle.
Now, I think the best idea I've heard in terms of how we deal with these players in terms of their historical legacy and how we remember them is by Bob Costas when he was like, you know, put everybody in, you know, put Pete Rose in, put Barry Bonds in, put, you know, Mark McGwire in, and at the front of the Hall of Fame, just have a placard that says, you know, baseball has gone through many different eras, and you know, there was a time of segregation, there was a time of steroids, some players were accused of gambling and things like that, but this building is a historical record of baseball, and as such, every one of these players should be included.
Yeah, and it's so unprecedented that once they make these little decisions as to who's getting in, who isn't getting in, if somebody gets in over somebody else, you're changing the rules as you go along, and it just turns into a mess. Look, baseball screwed up. You didn't catch the steroid users when they were using. And so now, at this point, even if they were to say, okay, let all the users go in, there's still guys like Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire who I feel probably wouldn't get into the Hall of Fame if you looked at their body of work with steroids.
Totally, but someone like Bonds is being punished because he was on his way to the Hall of Fame prior to getting juiced up. So, you know, it sucks both ways because you're keeping guys out who actually should have been there if they didn't, you know, go down this path.
Yeah, what I'm saying is if they lifted that veil and they just decided to say, okay, free game, everybody's getting in, there would be people like Bonds, like maybe Roger Clemens, who would get in, and then there were people who wouldn't get in, and it would be a fairness. In some weird way, it would be fair, because even though there are cheaters who had career years while juiced up, they wouldn't necessarily be getting into the Hall of Fame on those merits.
I do think eventually they'll get in. I mean, you got to remember, the Hall of Fame is voted on by baseball writers, and as more of these writers start to die out and stop voting, I think we're going to have a new wave of writers who, you know, went through the steroid era with maybe a different perspective on it. So I think, you know, someone like a Bonds or a Clemens will still get in. But the fringe guys like a McGwire or Sosa have no shot.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, Bonds is one of those guys that will get in. Clemens, just based on the accumulation of those numbers. And like you said, you know, once the new crop of writers come in that don't have such hardline views in terms of protecting the legacy of baseball, you know, I think you'll start to see those guys again. But, you know, like I said, and like Bob Costa said, you know, the Hall of Fame is the historical account of baseball. And you can't write the history of baseball without talking about Pete Rose, without talking about Barry Bonds, without talking about Roger Clemens. and, you know, without talking about A-Rod. So, you know, I definitely think those players will get in, but it might take a minute. It might take, you know, a generation of writers, you know, to, for lack of a better word, you know, to that generation to die off.
You mentioned, like, baseball sort of ignoring that error. You see the WWE and how they've ignored Chris Benoit. I mean, they've sort of erased him from memory. Like, you never hear mention of Chris Benoit anymore. So it's funny that, you know, while MLB is trying to pretend like these guys, you know, didn't exist, the WWE has been doing this since Benoit in his timely, you know, not timely, but untimely murder-suicide.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think what the only mention that they really have is the WWE encyclopedia.
Yep, that's it. And even wrestling fans are like, yeah, for some reason, like, scared to mention his name, like he's the boogeyman. Like, it's all right to mention Chris Benoit's name. Like, you know, you shouldn't feel guilty for talking about a guy who committed this crime, yes, but at the same time, he was a wrestler. He did have a career that you can't just, you know, suddenly pretend it didn't exist.
He who shall not be
named. Yeah, it's kind of weird because you don't see the NFL doing this with, like, a Jovan Belcher. That was a tragedy, the Kansas City Chiefs player who took his own life. And, you know, they're not going to completely ignore what happened there. They mentioned what happened, and it's not like he's going to be persona non grata with the NFL. And the WWE, I think, is just in a situation where there's just so many black clouds over it. There's been so many black guys with WWE.
Why do you gotta be black?
Is that I know. Hey, that's how we were raised to talk about black clouds. Is that now they just have to look at this scandal and they're just like, well, you know, let's just kind of veer away from this whole Chris Benoit scandal while we're still struggling with steroids and employment tax issues and all the other bad things that come when it comes to being a professional wrestler.
It sounded like a setup for on a side tangent. That sounded like a setup for one of those early 90s black comics. It's like white clouds walk around like this. Doo, 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 doo. Black clouds just glide in the sky, baby.
That's a good question. Why do they have to be black clouds? Dark clouds. Let's say dark clouds.
Oh, man. But the other thing I want to talk about, I don't know if you had a chance to see the story, Marcus. I guess it happened last week, and I really didn't want to talk about this. Was Kobe Bryant and his mama?
Yeah, I saw it when it first went down of the news, and I know that the auction happened just last week now. And
six figures, she got broken off.
Yeah, she got some money. I know she probably damaged her relationship with Kobe in the process, so I'm not sure if it was worth it, but. He's had an odd set of parents. I can see why Kobe's just weird, because him and her and Joe just seem like weird people. So, I mean, when I hear stuff about Kobe's personality, it doesn't really surprise me, just knowing that his family background just seems like it was just different.
Yeah, and Phil Jackson talks about how he was very awkward in his early days in the NBA, even during his prime, early into his prime, how he would keep to himself, and he was completely the opposite of Jordan in terms of somebody who liked being around the teammates and knew how to get in your face. Just Kobe was more aloof, and he's always been that way. And, you know, it does kind of speak to how he was kind of raised. You look at somebody like Kobe, you say, oh, he's got a mom, he's got a dad, so he's got a good head on his shoulders. You can't always just necessarily assume that type of thing, because if mom and dad have issues, then the kid's going to have issues, because that's how is he going to react, is how he was raised and what he's used to.
Yeah, I can see Kobe sitting at home scratching people off his Christmas card list. Dwight, gone. D'Antoni, gone. Mama, gone.
Hey, Marcus is winning on his parents, so you're gone too.
Yeah. I mean, Marcus cool with Magic, but Kobe might have just cut Marcus off that list.
That's all right. Magic got my bat.
But, the other thing I did want to touch on, I know Marcus and I talked about this a little bit. Alfred, I don't know if you had a chance to look at a bunch of the tweets last week, man. We talked about it a little bit with TJ McClune and the mess at TNA and my girl Dixie.
Oh, no.
She didn't learn from Paula Deen. She didn't learn from Drea Michelle. She's like, I know the way to improve my situation and get some good publicity going, I open myself up to Twitter. And so she sent out a tweet talking about Impact Wrestling fans, send me some suggestions and some comments and use the hashtag AskDixie. Man, it was all good just a week ago.
You know what's funny about that is that Dixie Carter really did this amidst all kinds of PR scandals and talent releases and just bad overall PR for TNA. She has this sort of Q&A, talent hall type discussion on Twitter. Well, she takes too long to get back to her fans, so it turns into this uproar. She ends up having to apologize for a Q&A session that was set up to try to smooth over relations. Is that ironic or what? I mean, talk about being counterproductive.
She's had a rough couple of weeks. I guess everyone in TNA has had a rough couple of weeks. Did you guys see the video for the August 1st reveal?
Yeah, they got a Mystery Man coming in.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's not going to be anyone new because that would be really financially irresponsible to hire someone after cutting the guy with the broken neck.
I was just going to say, maybe the Mystery Man is Jesse Sorensen. He swerved us all. Oops, pal, surprise.
The Rock. The Rock.
Oh.
The Rock. They're making room for The Rock. That's why they're having all these talent releases. Ross gonna come and save TNA.
That'll be Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, I like Jason to add a new theory about Jarrett, so I'm gonna say Jarrett. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah, you know, I kind of miss Jarrett. It's usually 9 times out of 10 you're saying, "Oh God, Jarrett again." But how long has it been since we've seen
2 years
Jarrett in active comedy? Exactly. So I kind of miss the guy.
And when he left, he was doing some of the best work of his career. You know, with the heel run and when he was doing the double J, double MMA challenge.
Oh my God, I love that. That was so good. I don't even know if he was just such a comedic genius with that, but there were so many moments that seemed like they were inadvertently funny, like that kind of secondary type humor. And yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I know you and I talked last night, and I might work it into the show. I don't know. It depends on how I feel when I wake up in the morning. But if you've already heard the discussion, then you know I went back in and edited that part. But if not, hey, it be like that sometimes. But you were talking yesterday about how Jeff Jarrett is overrated. And I think the thing with Jarrett is he's a quality worker, but he has been put in positions sometimes because of himself, sometimes by no fault of his own. He's been put in a position that's higher than his actual talent. So I don't know. I wouldn't say that he's overrated. I would say that he's overexposed more than anything, probably over the years.
Well, he's benefiting off the Jarrett last name. If he was, you know, Jeff Johnson, I'm sure we'd be talking about his career a lot differently than what it is now.
Yeah, and it's completely opposite with somebody like Sting, because when you look at Jeff Jarrett's accolades, if you were to read all these championships he's won and all that, and you don't know who I'm talking about, you're like, wow, this guy must have been a legend and a stud. But then I say, okay, I'm talking about Jeff Jarrett. And you're like, oh, okay, I get it now, you know. And again, like Marcus said, it's that Jarrett legacy. I think WWE really knew how to use Jeff Jarrett. Is when he came into the WWE, there was a ceiling. He was a mid-carder, and there was a certain place that he just didn't go above. There was a glass ceiling that he hit. And he's pretty much pushed like a black guy. He goes in there and he does his work, does jobs, and maybe he'll get an Intercontinental title here and there, but he was never pushed above a certain area. Then he goes to WCW and they push him to the moon because he's buddies with Vince Russo. And, you know, you saw how that went.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, he got Vince McMahon for that guap, though, on the way out.
I love that story. I love that story, by the way. That is one of those revolutionary stories. I wish there were more instances like that with Jeff Jarrett and WWE, because he's treated probably like a villain in wrestling circles for doing that. Oh, he's selfish and he takes money. But WWE has been built on the empire of dead bodies and dead wrestlers and employment taxes that they should have paid but didn't. And for Jeff Jarrett to do that, it's just giving WWE a taste of their own medicine.
He was sitting in the office with Vince talking about, make sure you make that check out to J-E, ha-ha, double F, J-A-E, double T. Ain't I great?
Didn't Warrior have a similar story?
Yeah, I think Warrior held Vince up for some money, too.
It was SummerSlam 91, I believe.
Yep.
And he basically put a gun to Vince's head and said, pay up or I'm not wrestling.
He paid him and then he fired him.
And he fired him.
Yeah. But I mean, to me, that shows that's something I've always respected Jeff Jarrett for. It's like, hey, I do the job, but by the same token, you didn't do your job in terms of the contract situation, so you got to pay me.
Here's a conspiracy theory. Vince paid Warrior and then killed him.
And the next Warrior that came back was, you know, the fake Ultimate Warrior. Because there's been that rumor for years.
Do you think we're going to see Warrior between now and October on TV?
I hope not. I hope we see him at the Royal Rumble. I hope the next time we see the Warrior is, you know, as a surprise entrant at the Royal Rumble. That would be one of the best
Jake
moments.
Along with him and Jake the Snake.
Take a little while for Jake to get down there, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jake the Snake and Jeff Jarrett, the Ultimate Warrior in the Royal Rumble, that would be crazy. But I think the story I want to end off with, Brother Alfred, is a story that you brought to my attention. And normally on this show, when we talk about Tiger, we talk, you know, Tiger Woods, maybe the Detroit Tigers, you know. But the story that you brought to my attention is like some Siegfried and Roy type stuff, man. Go ahead and let the people know about Darnell Dockett, man.
Arizona Cardinal Darnell Dockett wants to bring his pet tiger. You heard me right. His pet tiger to training camp. His name is Little Buddy. He's a little 60-pound baby tiger. And he tweeted, my pet tiger, his name is Buddy. I'm going to bring him to practice in training camp at least one day. He's handsome. I'm still trying to go through the proper channels. And mind you, Darnell Dockett, obviously an avid animal lover, according to this piece of For the Win, he tried to purchase a monkey for $30,000. Now, mind you, we are in an era where NFL players are going broke at a record pace. 78% of NFL players within retirement go bankrupt. And you got guys like Darnell Dockett, who's going out purchasing animals and trying to bring them to training camp and obviously trying to run his own circus. So, look, this is the same Darnell Dockett that when Catherine Webb was shown on national television and Brett Musburger lost his shit, he tweeted his number to Catherine Webb, except he didn't DM it to her. He actually tweeted it, so all of his hundreds of thousands of followers saw his number. So did hers, which had grown to 100,000 followers, and he had to shut down a cell phone service temporarily. So not the sharpest crane in the box, Darnell Dockett.
That dirty macking, man. That dirty macking.
I'm just wondering about the tiger sitting on the sideline. He's just like, are you sure I'm a tiger? I don't very much feel like a tiger today. But, you know, he got tigers. He got monkeys. And there's a part of me, there's the sick part of me, and just full disclosure, it's 5:11 in the morning on the East Coast.
Kayfabe, brother.
Yeah, this breaking kayfabe, brother. And I just got off of an 8-hour shift at work. And so I'm like thinking, you know what? I know we all got on Michael Vick for them dog fights, and that was wrong, and I don't think anybody's condoning that. But I would pay to see a monkey fight. And what I pay for even more is to see a monkey fight a tiger.
Peter, that was Nate Milton. Nate Milton.
And Peter is right down the road in Norfolk, too.
Speaking of which, Peter is not very happy with what's going on here. They do not feel that Darnell Dockett is equipped to take care and domesticate a tiger, which I would 110% agree with.
Did you know he's 32? Like, this is stuff you shouldn't be doing at 32. This stuff you do at 22.
It's very Michael Jackson-like. Yeah. That child, he didn't get a childhood, so now he's trying to play with the animals and lions and tigers and monkeys and children. Not saying that he plays with children, but, you know, trying to fulfill a childhood.
Well, he's had a crazy backstory, his personal life. Mom was murdered. Dad died right after from cancer. So I think this is all stemming from issues he had as a child. That's a lot to take in as a 13-year-old.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some arrested development there. Look at that. I'm breaking out psychological terms and stuff. That's what I do at 5:14 in the morning. I know somebody's out there listening. They're like, either this or the greatest.
By the way, if you go to his Instagram feed and his photos, in between the photo of the tiger and the monkey is a photo of a midget stripper who looks like Khloe Kardashian.
Are you serious?
Yeah, looks like Khloe Kardashian.
is it Bridget the Midget?
I can't tell. It doesn't say her name.
I wonder, that's got to take some guts to be a midget stripper.
It's hard to find work as a midget, though. I mean, it's either that or, like, you join the circus or you join the WWE. And that gig's already been taken.
Yeah. Well, where is Horn Swatter? We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
He's filming a movie. He's going to be in a movie.
Oh,
he's
that's
gonna
right. Be in the Leprechaun. The, Leprechaun.
Wow. Hopefully it's better than Leprechaun in the Hood.
Oh, no, this is not Bridget the Midget. I just doodled her. And this okay. is, wow, she's something.
Yeah, Bridget the Midget will be working hard for that money.
Not what I wanted to see at 2:14 in the morning.
I'm never Googling Bridget the Midget.
Don't do it.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. But yeah, I do feel bad. I do feel bad for Bridget the Midget, though, man. It's hard out there working that pole. You got to get like a little booster, a step ladder to get on the pole.
3'9".
Yeah. That pole at the top of that pole for her must be like the Empire State Building. I wonder what the liability of a strip club that hosts midgets, because if she falls off that thing, that's it. I mean,
I'll tell you what though, man, because I did. This was one of the when I was up in Canada. One day, I'm just thinking about, you know, being an entrepreneur, and I'm like, yo, I should go into business with a midget. And we should open up like a curio shop, like a little knick-knack shop, you know, just something nice so people get some decorations for their house and whatnot. And then, see, this is the other thing. Opening up the store with the midget was just a side hustle, so that way eventually I was going to run for mayor of Cambridge. So, yeah, that's another whole.
As an American?
Yeah, yeah. And not just as an American, as a black American, I was going to run for the mayor of Cambridge. And so I was like, but before I do that, I got to start this business with this midget. And, you know, it's going, like I said, a little knickknacks, nice store, you know, not too expensive, you know, reasonably priced. And that way, when I ran for the mayoral seat in Cambridge, they could be like, Nate, what do you do to support the economy in Cambridge? And I could be like, well, I've always been a champion of the small businessman. And then bring my little midget friend out there.
What a payoff.
Campaign over.
Boom. Oh, that's what you get at 5:16 in the morning.
I don't know where you're going with that.
Hey, yeah. I mean, it was a long trip, but the destination was worth it.
It was. It definitely was.
Man, so I think that's about it. Unless y'all got something else y'all want to talk about.
We can talk about Total Divas real quick.
Oh yeah, I did not get a chance to see that. But what went down tonight?
My second favorite show behind Big Brother, I think. It was much better than
was there any nip slips tonight?
No, there wasn't.
Oh.
Alfred, what'd you think?
I really liked it. I loved it. It's funny because it's so ironic that wrestling is often unfairly criticized as being scripted and fake, and people don't like the fact that it's scripted. But when you get into reality TV, some reality TV shows are criticized. So a WWE reality TV show, you'd think, yeah, that's quote-unquote fake, whatnot, but it's not. Like, it doesn't need to be. A lot of the drama that goes on backstage at WWE events and in that company are better than anything you could write. So we saw a lot of moments play out that we read and even covered on this show that were 100% legit, like the Bellas and Funkadactyls getting cut from WrestleMania. That played out. That was pretty much the storyline arc of the whole episode. Bellas come back. They take people's WrestleMania spot. Natalya's angry because she's a really good worker and she's going to be bumped from WrestleMania. And the episode, pretty much, spoiler alert, ends with the Bellas crying because they are not going to be competing at WrestleMania, along with the fun.
Yeah, and I thought the dynamic with the Bellas and Cena and Bryan was interesting as well. They are in two different relationships, that's for sure. Daniel Bryan seems to have the better of the two Bellas in terms of, you know, being more reasonable, more rational. Cena's Bella. I think Cena's got the one with the boobs.
Yeah.
Is looking for a ring. Yeah, looking for one now. Plus, I mean, we all know Cena's got a divorce. A couple
I was
years
like,
ago.
Ain't he still going through the divorce proceedings?
Yeah, he's like, look, I'm already paying one woman off, you know.
I ain't trying to go that Ric Flair route.
Yeah, he's not. So.
Yeah, but Cena's smart about it because he got a prenup.
Yeah.
If so you ain't no punk, holla, we want prenups.
That dynamic is interesting. I didn't know that one of the Funkadactyls was dating an Uso, or is actually engaged to an Uso.
Uh-oh.
Engaged, yeah.
So they'll have some Samoan black kids with some good hair. and in the whole Vinny aspect, Vinny is my favorite person on the show. Vinny is the boyfriend of the other, I think Cameron, right?
No,
it's confusing because Cameron, they use the real names on the show. Not
their real names, yeah. Her name's like Ariel or Ariane or something.
Vinny's dating the one without the booty, I think. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Ariane.
Was that the chick from Tough Enough that said Melina and yeah.
Yes.
Alicia Fox was her favorite match?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Vinny shows up. He's like this, I want to say he's like Italian, maybe?
Uh-oh.
Sounded Italian. Something.
Yeah, he might have been.
And he showed up, I guess, backstage. I guess Brodus Clay, during rehearsal. Spoiler alert, they do rehearse matches in wrestling. I guess Brodus got upset at the ladies for sucking. And Vinny didn't appreciate Brodus Clay yelling at his girl, and he threatened to kick Brodus' ass. I'm assuming he didn't know how big Brodus was because, granted, Vinny was a bit dude, but Brodus is probably pushing 400 pounds almost. Yeah. So.
I was hoping that was going to pay off. Like, he's just sitting there going crazy, like, bring him out. Oh, let's see him. Tell him to come see me. Bring him out. I'll kick his ass. And they bring out big old Brodus. And he's like, hey, man, I just wanted to say I'm a big fan of your work.
And I was watching an episode. It sounded like they filmed that scene at Raw. Because I could have sworn I heard the Fandango chant in the background of that scene. Unless they were doing, happened to be doing Fandango's walkthrough, but I could have sworn I heard the fans from Raw, which would be some bad editing that shot this thing out of order. But overall, I enjoyed it.
And I was thinking in the back of my mind, actually, if there was one segment I thought was a work, then it could have been that, because how you bringing up the fact that you heard the chanting, then that just means that it was filmed after WrestleMania, which would be kind of an indictment on that segment.
You could tell it was filmed at the Azad Center where Raw was the next night, but I'm guessing they didn't have these people rehearsing outdoors, so they probably did other rehearsal stuff at the Azad. But either way, though, the ratings were pretty decent. I think they did like 1.2, 1.3 million viewers. It had a Kardashian lead-in, which is, I guess, a good thing in this case. So I'm curious to watch the rest of the season. The trailer for the rest of the year looked good.
It sounds interesting. The only thing I think that would have made that scene better if she was dating Vinny from Naughty by Nature, and then you would have had Vinny and Brodus and two dudes with little baby arms fighting.
Who has the reach advantage in that?
Only if
another side story. It's like you wouldn't be able to count.
Yeah,
I liked. There was just so much drama to follow, because also if you were on Twitter, you're able to see the cutest troll in sports entertainment, Maria Kanellis, who's not very pleased with the Bella Twins. She was going ham on the Bella Twins. Every segment that involved the Bellas, Maria had something negative to say about it, and she kind of mocked what we were talking about earlier of Nikki Bella wanting to get married, to where she kind of said Nikki Bella and Cena know each other for 5 seconds, and she says, I want to get married, and Cena says, I haven't gotten divorced yet.
Was she serious about
this? No, it was kind of funny. Oh, she's very serious. She believes that the Bella Twins blocked her from returning to the WWE, so she's not very happy. There's heat there. And it's on one side, because the Bella Twins don't pick her up or lay her down, but she has been very vocal about her displeasure with the Bella Twins, which I think is unfounded.
So you're talking about, like, this just happened, like, when she was trying to come back with Homeboy from Ring of Honor.
I think this was
before
Mike.
Yeah, this is back to WrestleMania season.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because apparently WWE originally wanted to bring back a bunch of divas and do kind of a battle royal or the mixed tag or whatever, but according to Maria, the Bellas said, no, we're not coming back unless you don't hire Maria, which I don't believe. Well, I don't think Maria's that big of a deal.
Based on the first episode, it looks like the Bellas did run that division. It seems like they have a lot of pull in that locker room for the women. Yeah. Why that's the case, I don't know. But
it's because they got rid of anybody that was a veteran.
Well, you saw that Karma was... She tweeted something about she might be close to coming back to TV. I'm assuming she meant WWE. She left it kind of vague, but she basically tweeted that she was getting ready to get back in the ring. So I'm hoping she's coming back to WWE and not to TNA.
Maybe that's the mystery person.
Ooh.
Boom.
Oh, there you go.
Hmm.
And she can come back. Yeah, she can come back as a heel, and the tagline be "Calm as a bitch."
I like that idea.
You're welcome, Dixon.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they can say that. They can say that, DNA.
Yeah, yeah. They're edgy.
We fire people with broken necks, son.
Edgy on the brink, all the same thing.
We don't care. Oh man, but yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to check that out. I'm sure it's Eve, so they'll replay the hell out of it this week.
They will, and they will replay that, I think, on USA after Raw.
Yeah, trust me, it was much better than Raw tonight, because Raw was a struggle.
Oh yeah, well, did anything good happen on Raw tonight?
No, it was boring. It was just so boring, and you could tell the crowd tried its best, but it was tired. It hadn't been there. They were still filming.
It was a different crowd. New City.
Was it a different crowd? Mm-hmm. Were they still in Texas?
Laredo, Texas.
Okay, so they're okay. They're,
this was the show that Jerry Lawler got lost on the way to, by the way.
4-hour drive. That's right.
Hold on, so Jerry Lawler, when they left Corpus Christi, because they filmed all these shows like right back to back to back, right?
No, they left Austin.
He left Austin, and it took him four hours to get to Laredo?
No, he went 3 hours the wrong way. He was in Dallas, and wow. He realized.
Yeah, he's he knew where he was going.
To the White House?
Nah, he had to go meet some. Yeah, he had to go meet somebody at the Snooty Fox Motel. All right, Jerry, you ain't slick, player.
Yeah, so they had to get a charter plane in order to get him to Raw on time.
That's hilarious.
A Raw, mind you, that they probably didn't do live because it was taped on Tuesday. So
yeah.
They had him just to sit there front row and be on camera. So it's good money.
Yeah, I'll have to check Raw later tonight. I'll check both of those shows out once I get some damn sleep today. And on that note, we're going to call it a show tonight. So, hopefully you enjoyed the show. If not, leave a comment, leave a complaint, leave a criticism. We probably won't care because...
Nah, don't do that. We don't want to hear it.
We give you this free entertainment, yo.
It's 2:30 in the morning.
If not, use the hashtag AskDixie to criticize any portion of the show.
Why was your show only 2 segments? Hashtag AskDixie. Yeah.
Listen, it's better than no segments.
Exactly. Oh man, so this is going to be the end of this show, but before we get out of here, big shout out again to audible.com, audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. Get your free 30-day trial and your free audiobook. Big shout out to Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com. Big shout out, man, again, big shout out to Kanye West for stopping by in segment 2. Big shout out, man, to Barry Bonds for coming through in segment 3. That was crazy. Barry Bonds admitted.
Don't forget about the president.
Yeah, I mean, Barack Obama and Barry Bonds were going back snapping. They was playing the dozens. It was ridiculous. Barack was like, Barry, let me be clear. Your mother is so fat. When she sits around the house, she really sits around the house.
That's not a bad Barack.
That's a quality Barack for 5:30 in the morning. But yeah, y'all missed out on this segment 2 and 3. It's so good, we can't even put it on the air. So you just getting 1 and 4. But so before we get out of here, Marcus, let the people know how they can follow you, especially as you get ready for your big trip, man.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Marco Will, MarcoWill. I am off to Orlando, Florida tomorrow night.
Don't get shot.
Did you see the story I posted on Facebook?
Yeah. That,
someone else got shot up in Florida. So I'm risking my life for you guys.
Be like the shit and walk around with a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, I won't be leaving the hotel, so.
Alright, Big Nasty, where can they find you at?
On Twitter at This Is Nasty and go on Bleacher Report. This week I'm talking Jim Ross, Maria Kanellis, and much more. There's gonna be a lot of controversy to go around for everybody.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow all of us, KOS_POD, CosPod on Twitter. Check us out, Facebook.com/. Facebook.com.
The struggle is real.
I'm struggling. Facebook.com/ The Kings of Sport. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, subscribe, review, rate, share it with your friends, share it with your peoples and them. Let them know Barry Bonds was on the show talking about Barack Obama. And, of course, all the small businessmen out there, we support you as well.
By the way, before we take off, if there's anyone you want on the show, this is your time to request it. I'm going to be around black journalists. So leave a comment or something. I can try to track some folks down for the show later on. So just let us know.
Yeah, go ahead and get that networking on, brother.
Yeah, Dan, if it's ESPN, I warn you, it might be a problem. So any non-ESPN folks.
Jason Whitlock.
Whitlock doesn't attend our conference. He's I don't want to say he's an Uncle T, but he has
friends with mom,
Uncle Tyrone.
Yeah, he hasn't been to NABJ in many, many years, if ever. So
we gonna leave. Don't get fired, Marcus.
He's the competition. He's all right.
Oh man. Oh, so and on that note, we will leave it there. And I'm going to get some food in my system, go to bed, and I don't know. The rest for me to find out, for me to know, and for y'all to find out. In the weirdest end of a show ever. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, for Big Nasty Alfred Cunningham, I am the Godfather Nate Milton, and you've been down with the King.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network. Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-D-D-Y-F-A-X-X.